there. Every day, whether we realize it or not, no matter what you think your home is like, the devil is always there and Satan is always attacking. So we desperately need God's love, and we need that commitment to each other and, most importantly, to God and to His Word. You can open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4 again tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, we've been in an extended look at what Proverbs has to say on the subject of diligence. And this is part number 3. So if you've been here for all 3 messages, thank you. I hope this will really help us get a full view of what the book of Proverbs has to say on the subject of diligence. And we started 2 weeks ago with talking about what are the characteristics of laziness and diligence. You look through Proverbs and just what are the general themes that come up when you look at laziness and diligence. What does it mean to be lazy? What does it mean to be diligent? And then the week after that, we started talking about, okay, everyone will disagree on the different spheres of life that require diligence. One person will say, well, I'm a really diligent athlete, and therefore I'm a righteous person, because all my diligence, I'm disciplined in this area of life. Well, and that can be a good thing. We should be disciplined. But then we look and we say, okay, God, what do you specifically say are the specific areas and the spheres of our life that require this diligence? And we broke this up into 2 parts. Last week, we looked at the being diligent in our inner man, and we'll review those points here in just a second. And then tonight, we're going to look at, okay, how do we then use the diligence in our inner man? How does that then translate into our outward lives? Because God doesn't just command us to guard our heart with all diligence. That is huge. Some people say, keep your heart with all above all other keeping. Our heart is so important. Our inner man is so important. But then tonight, we're going to look at, okay, after we're doing that, after we're disciplined in our inner man, how does that then translate out to being diligent and disciplined in our outward actions? So that's where we're going tonight. But to just review some of the characteristics that we looked at, we talked about the destruction of laziness. And just the different characteristics of a lazy person you see in Proverbs is they waste their time with ease. They love sleeping. They love slumber. As a door on its hinges, so does the slothful turn on his bed, it says. They're not teachable. A lazy person, they're not going to listen to you. They're trapped in their ways. They're not teachable. They're not willing to change. They don't even try sometimes. And they make excuses. The excuses that the sluggard gives in Proverbs are very silly excuses. There is a lion in the streets. I'm going to be slain. And that was maybe a little more plausible in their day and age, but especially in America, that's laughable. It's like, no, you're not going to be killed by a lion if you go to work today. But the excuses a sluggard makes, they're reasonable and rational in their minds because they just want to find any excuse they can not to have to do that work. So they make excuses. They cannot be trusted. Proverbs talks about if you send something by the hand of a sluggard or a slothful person, you're going to have this wound on you. It talks about as smoke to the eyes, vinegar to the teeth. So is a slothful person to those that send him. It hurts. You don't want to trust a lazy person. They don't finish their work. Sometimes they'll start a job, but they won't finish that. Sluggard will not roast what he takes in hunting. He may hunt it, but they're not going to finish their work because they are lazy. And then the point that's very important to remember is a lazy person is not a righteous person. Laziness is not just a minor character flaw. Proverbs says, and it contrasts directly, a lazy person with a righteous person. That doesn't mean that Christians struggle to be diligent. No, I'm thankful that that's not the case because I can struggle to be diligent. I see signs of laziness in my own life. But instead of just saying, oh, well, that's just how it's going to be, no, I need to look at that and say, that's not pleasing to God. God wants me to be diligent in every arena and aspect of my life. A lazy person is not living rightly before God. The consequences for laziness, they're going to have a difficult life. They're going to destroy opportunities. They're going to be poor. That's just practically speaking. Someone that's not willing to work, the Bible says, neither shall they eat. The heart of laziness, though, and this is important. What is it that's at the heart of everything? It's a love of ease above everything else. It's a temporal focus. I want to do what's going to please me right now. They don't look at the future. They don't look at the rewards that come from diligence. They have this temporal focus. Ultimately, it's just a love for self. What is it that's going to make Nathan Herbster the happiest right now? Okay, I'm going to do that. Because that sounds nice for me. That's a lazy mentality. That's a lazy heart. But what about the heart of diligence? It's not motivated by wealth and increase. It's not motivated by recognition from others. A diligent person will be more well off, the Bible tells us, than a lazy person most often. You look at someone that's very diligent in their work, most likely, more often than not, they're going to be more financially stable than a lazy person. But that's not our motivation. We're not motivated by recognition from others where someone says, man, that's just a diligent person. That can't be our motivation either. The only motivation that the Bible gives for diligence is the fear of the Lord. Colossians 3:23 is also up there where it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto man. We're supposed to work diligently. We're commanded to work diligently, but it must be motivated by a love for God, a heart that is focused on God. But what are the characteristics of diligence? How does that play out? Well, they work with enthusiasm. They're excited. They get right to their work. They set their focus on it. This is the task at hand, and I'm focused on this opportunity right there in front of me. And they get right to it. They don't delay. They don't make those excuses. I'll get to it tomorrow. You know, those t-shirts that say procrastinators meeting tomorrow. Those are very funny. I don't know if you've ever seen one. But that's a procrastinator. That's a lazy mentality. A diligent person is like, no, I'm going to get right to it. I have the time right now. I'm going to get right to this job, right to the task in front of me. And the rewards for diligence, they will have no lack. And they will rule. And we even see that in the workplace where a boss looks at a diligent person and they're going to be promoted and they're going to rule over the lazier people, which sometimes can be a real pain because you have to motivate these people to work. But that's the reward that comes from diligence. And God even says those who are faithful in little things will be set over much in His coming kingdom. So we must be diligent to listen to wisdom. This is moving into our hearts and minds. What are the spheres of life that require this? This is what we looked at last week. Well, we must be diligent to listen to wisdom. We must let wisdom come into our hearts. And some of the reasons that we're lazy in this is we don't like what we are hearing. Sometimes we don't want to listen to wisdom. We don't diligently listen just because we don't like it. We don't like what we're hearing. Or we think that we have it right. It's either Proverbs 26 or Proverbs 18, verse 2. Yeah, the verses are there. We can look them up later. Where it says, a slothful person, a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men that answer reasonably or that give a reason. You have these seven men that are giving this wise counsel to this lazy person. And the lazy person's like, I don't want to hear it. I got it all right. I'm right in my own mind. We think we have it right. And that's why we're not diligent sometimes to listen to reason. Sometimes, ashamedly, even when God's own word, we read it and we say, no, you know what? I think my way's better. I don't think that's what that means. Sometimes we're lazy just because we don't have the time. We don't take the time to focus on listening to wisdom. So we must be diligent in listening to wisdom. But we must be diligent to work for our heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. And that means we pay attention to our desires. That means we pay attention to our thoughts. That means we pay attention to our senses, those gates that go into our heart. We guard our eyes, we guard our lips, we guard our touch, we guard what we hear. We guard all of that. That means we constantly evaluate our actions to say, okay, what was going on in my heart when I did that? When I reacted in that way to this person, what was going on inside of me? And then we continually, going back to the first point from last week, we continually renew our hearts with wisdom. That's necessary. Because if we don't do that, we're going to fall, we're going to fail. We need to constantly be going back. But why are we lazy in watching over our hearts? Sometimes we only focus on our outward actions. We see an anger issue, and it's like, man, I'm just going to stop being angry. I'm going to do it. And then we don't get to the heart. Okay, why was I angry? And so if we don't diligently get down to our heart, there's going to be no change. So we must not focus only on the outward actions. A lazy person does that. They say, I don't want to take the time to get down into my heart. No, I'm just going to change what's seen on the outside. We don't pay attention to what we allow to come in, another sign of laziness. We don't think it's going to affect us. We're like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and watch this movie. I have no idea what's in it, but here we go. This will be great. Well, no, a diligent person will take the time to say, okay, what are the philosophies that this is going to teach? What things are going to be presented before my eyes? And sometimes we're lazy just because we underestimate the power of the world. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's a roaring lion that's against us. a lazy person, though, will underestimate that power. And then lastly, last week, we said we need to be diligent in considering our path. We need to plan ahead. We need to stop and evaluate. Okay, if I keep walking down this path, where is that going to take me? This step right here may not be a bad step, but this direction that this step is taking me in, what's going to be the result? What's going to be the consequences that I face? A diligent person will take the time to think through and plan ahead. They're going to stop and evaluate your decisions. Okay, is this decision a good decision or is it the best decision? Oftentimes people will say, you know what, I think this is a right decision, but if they would actually stop and think, there's a better option for them. You can take a good path, but there's a better path so many times. God wants us to take the best path. So stop and evaluate your decisions. Consider the future. And then once you have that right path, once you have that right goal in mind, stick to it. Don't lose your focus. There in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27, it says, "Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." You think about a dog that's going on a walk and then all of a sudden he sees a squirrel and he's completely distracted. Rather than going on the walk that he's supposed to be going, he's like, "Run, I'm a hunter now. I'm going to go chase this squirrel." Well, if we're not careful, that can happen to us too as Christians, which is why we must stay focused and be guarding our heart and being diligent to consider and evaluate the path that we're on and then stick to that right path. What are reasons that we are lazy in this? Well, we are still naive. We don't know and we don't have the wisdom to see where that direction is going to take us. The Bible calls that a simple person. The wise man sees the evil and he hides himself. But the simple pass on and suffer for it. They're punished because of their choices. Another reason that we're lazy is we just love impulsive decisions. We don't like to take the time and think through the next week or the next month or the next year and say, what is it I want to accomplish? The Bible does talk about taking things day at a time, but that means we're relying on strength a day at a time. That doesn't mean that we don't plan ahead and say, okay, here's where I want to be. How can God help me to do that? So we must not love impulsive decisions. Now tonight, we're going to turn and not just look over diligence in our hearts and minds in all of those areas, but we're going to consider, okay, let's see how God tells us that we need to be diligent, not just in our hearts and minds, even though that is so essential, but how then do we use this diligence that's been used in our hearts and minds, and how do we move that then into our outward actions? Diligence is necessary in our inner being. You've turned to Proverbs chapter 24, and we've quoted it a couple times. So verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And that's why we started with diligence in our hearts and minds, because out of the heart the mouth speaks, Jesus says. Here in Proverbs it said, out of the heart flows the abundance of life. But we also see in Proverbs that being diligent in our heart is not enough. It's more important than the outside. But we then need to be diligent also to apply what's in our heart into our outward actions. So a person that says, well, you don't see my heart. No, I don't. I really don't. I can't see that. And I hope and pray you're being diligent in your heart. But we also then must translate that out and be diligent in our steps. And that's what's concerning, is when someone says, my heart is completely right, and you see the path they're going on, and it's destructive. And you say, okay, you may be diligent in your heart, but you're not being diligent in your outward actions. And that's what God commands of us as well. So keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. But if you look to verses 14 and 15 in chapter 4, this is before that verse. Chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. This is talking about our outward actions. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away." If you look down to verse number 24, right after it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence," it says, "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Don't let your mouth speak froward things. Don't let your mouth speak perverse things. And so the outside does matter. We must be diligent in our path. Those verses that we just read lead us to our first point, is that we must be diligent to avoid wickedness. We must be diligent in our lives to avoid wickedness. And this is very similar to what we concluded with last week, talking about diligent to consider our path and to set the right path. And so if we're going to avoid wickedness, it starts in our heart to where we say, okay, I see that path. I see where it's going. I'm thinking about that path. But it's not just the thought that counts. We must put feet to the words that are inside of our head, and we must actually act on it. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 8, we looked at Proverbs 5, we preached a whole message on the subject of purity. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 8, it says, remove thy way far from her. Talking about an adulterous person, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. And so diligence in avoiding wickedness means that we stay far away from wickedness, as far away as possible. This is the actual action of walking the other way. It's not just the thought saying, okay, I see wickedness over there, I should avoid that. This is actually taking that step and saying, I'm going to avoid it. This is the outward action of putting that away from us. It's not just enough to plan to turn away from evil. We must put the action to it and actually turn away from it. And I was thinking of an illustration in this, I'm a sports person, so I'm going to use a football illustration. You think about a running back who's just been handed off the ball, and he's trying to avoid the defenders, right? Well, there are two ways for him to avoid the defenders. First of all, he's going to try to see where his blockers are and where the open lane is, where there's nothing in his way. And so he sees that path, and he's like, oh, I'm going to go that path. So that's what it, first of all, should mean for us, is that we must immediately flee from the danger, and I actually have these flip-flopped in my notes. But we keep distance between ourselves and the evil. So that's the illustration of the running back. He sees the lineman blocking over here. He's blocking away that guy that wants to tackle him. And so he says, oh, look, I have a path away from evil right here. That's a free and open path. I'm going to take that path. So we keep distance between ourselves and the evil. But then what happens sometimes is the running back is running down. There's a guy that has not been blocked. And all of a sudden, he's right there in our face. You know, the running back's running, and there's a defender all of a sudden right there. And he has a split-second decision. Do I go this way or do I go that way? No running back, unless they absolutely have to, is going to try to initiate contact, unless they know they can beat it. What they're going to try to do is they're going to try to fake it out and go the opposite direction. And that's the same way for us as Christians. Sometimes there's a clear path, and we're going to take the path that avoids all of the evil, all of these things that are trying to hit us. But oftentimes while we're running down that clear path, something will all of a sudden pop up right in front of us. And then we need to immediately flee from that danger. And then after we flee from that danger, we put as far of a distance between us and it as possible. Just like a running back who finally breaks a tackle, he's not going to stand there and go, ha, 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 because that guy's going to get right back up and take him down. No, he's going to put as much distance between him and that man as possible. And that's not too far of a stretch to apply that to our Christian life to say, okay, first of all, choose the path that's going to keep you as far away from that evil as possible. Put your feet there and walk in that direction. I know I'm tempted in this area. Okay, I'm going to go this direction. I'm going to go as far away from that as possible. But then sometimes, even when we're going on the right path, a temptation is going to pop up right in front of us. And we must react and we must respond immediately to that. Taking action to get that out of our minds, to get that out of our life, to get that away from it. I think that if we stop and consider the temptation when it pops up in front of us, we've already handcuffed ourselves behind our back. That's why we need to be ready for temptation. That's why we need to think ahead and plan ahead in our hearts so when that temptation comes, we're ready to flee. You think of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. He kept saying, no, no, no. And then one day she takes hold of him and he didn't even stop to argue with her. He just took off and ran. He's like, I'm done. I need to get out of here. And that's just how we should respond as well. When a strong temptation comes up right in front of us, don't take the time to think, man, what should I do? And just get out. And then think later how you can keep that from coming back up. Get away immediately. If we don't react immediately, if we're not diligent in responding immediately, then we've already got two strikes against us. And that temptation is going to creep in and be strong. And remember, I reviewed the characteristics of diligence really quickly, but one of the characteristics of a diligent person is a man that gets right to it. that they have that immediate response. When someone gives them work to do, they don't sit around. They're not like, okay, you know, maybe I'll get to that tomorrow. Well, if we're going to apply that to avoiding wickedness in our lives, it's not like we see this temptation, oh, you know what, I'm going to give this a week's bit of thought and I'll take care of it eventually. No, we must react right away and say, I'm getting out of here. And then we consider how we can keep that distance there. And we're diligent to do that. We're diligent to not take steps back towards it. So we immediately flee from danger. We keep distance between ourselves and the evil. That's what it means to be diligent in avoiding wickedness. Well, what are some reasons that we're lazy in this? Why? What does laziness look like and where does that come from? Well, sometimes, and this is just the heart of laziness, sometimes we just don't want to give the effort to fight the evil. We're like, man, I've already spent so much energy fighting that. I just want to give up. I'm not in the mood for a challenge right now. I'm not in the mood to fight right now. I remember my dad telling me sometimes when I would be wrestling with different things, he'd be like, Nathan, just go get some sleep. Because sometimes when we're tired, that just gives us that much more of a reason to be lazy in something. And so do stuff. Do keep your sleep up as a very practical strength motivator to give the effort. But guess what? Even when we're tired, God always provides a way of escape. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation, He shall make a way of escape. We never have an excuse to give in to evil. But a lazy person just sometimes says, I know I could get out of this, I just don't want to put in the effort. That's a lazy heart. That's a lazy mentality. A lazy person, remember we said, also likes to make excuses. And a lazy person will make excuses when they're confronted with evil. I jotted down just a couple that I know I sometimes use in combating wickedness. Sometimes we see a situation popping up, and we say, you know what, I can go one step further and I'll still have an opportunity to escape. Oh, no, you know what, I think I'll still have an opportunity to escape if I take one step further. And we allow our curiosity to be piqued. And so we delay getting out of the situation, whatever it is. Whether it's a movie and you're like, man, this movie's starting to go south. You know, let's stick around, let's see what happens. Or maybe it's just a situation where you're at a party or at a celebration of some sort and you're like, uh-oh, that's a bad sign right there. But let's see where this goes. I can always get out later. Well, that's a lazy person. And they make excuses saying, you know what, this won't affect me. I can always get out later. Or maybe we say, I can repent later with minimal or no consequences. Where you say, no, you know what, I'm gonna continue in this path. And you know what, someday I'll just repent and I'll make it right with God. And He is faithful and just to forgive us my sins, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Okay, then I'm okay. I don't need to avoid that wickedness. I can be lazy here right now. That's an excuse we'll make sometimes. And sometimes we say, maybe I misread the situation. Maybe this isn't as bad as I think it is. Or so you'll grow up and you're like, man, that's a wicked sin, that's a wicked sin, that's a wicked... And then the older you get and the closer you get to it, oh, maybe that's not as bad as I thought it was. Maybe I misunderstood this. And then you fall. And you get trapped in that sin because you weren't diligent to keep that far away because you made excuses in going there. So we're lazy because we don't want to give the effort. We're lazy because we listen to really inexcusable excuses. But then we're lazy sometimes just when we allow the temptation to be prolonged. And that's in contrast to getting immediately out of the situation. A lazy person does not react immediately. And there are consequences to this. There are consequences for getting near to sin. I used the illustration one time of I was at a giant sandlot volleyball court. My mom had to go somewhere and she said, Nathan, don't get in the sand yet. So I walked around the sand like on the edge and I'm like, I'm not getting in the sand, I'm not getting in the sand. I had every intention not of getting in the sand, but at one point I slipped into the sand. And my mom came and having the tender conscience that I did, I said, Mom, I'm sorry, I slipped into the sand. And I'm like, oh, Mom will understand. She'll say, oh, Nathan, it's okay. It wasn't intentional. But my mom was a wise mother, and she said, Nathan, why were you that close? And she got on to me. And I think I had to sit out of the sand for a little bit. I may have gotten a spanking. I don't really remember how old I was at that point. But it stuck with me. And the thought, okay, Nathan, there's no excuse. Even if you're trying to not fall in, if you're close and you fall in, that you have no excuse. You should have known better. You should have been further away. And if we allow that temptation to be prolonged, if we take steps to be close to it, if we don't immediately distance ourselves from it, and we fall, as loving as God is, He's going to look at us and say, I'm sorry, that was your own fault. I gave you everything you needed to avoid that temptation. But you allowed that temptation to be prolonged. You stayed in the situation longer than you should have been. You weren't like Joseph. You didn't immediately run. You allowed the temptation to be prolonged. And that's when we fall. And that's laziness. And so in our actions, we must be diligent to avoid wickedness. Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, if your right hand offend thee, cut it off. If your eyes cause you to sin, pluck them out. And He wasn't really calling for amputation and dismembering of your body. What He's saying is, do whatever it takes. Do the radical thing. Delete that app. Get rid of your phone. Get rid of that friend. Get whatever you need to do to keep that not happening again. Don't be lazy in avoiding wickedness. But secondly, we must be diligent to do righteousness. And this is so important to remember, because it's not just that we're constantly putting away stuff and putting away stuff and putting away stuff. If we wanted, we could have a full-time job fighting sin. But that's not what the Bible sets forward for us. It says, fight sin, but then put even more effort into growing in righteousness. Don't just spend your time saying, no, no, no. Instead, focus on the, yes, I need that. Yes, Lord, I need that. Yes, I want to grow in righteousness. I'm not a mechanic, so this is going to be a really bad illustration. But you think about a car, and it needs gas to run or whatever. Let's pretend you have a car and there's oil in the gas tank instead of gas. Something bad. We're going to use that to represent the bad that we're doing. Well, you can take all of that oil out of the gas tank. You can get the gas tank all nice and clean and ready again. But that car is not going to go anywhere until you actually put in the gas and you can take off and go somewhere. It's the same in our Christian life. If we're only ever putting out the bad stuff, if we're only ever taking that oil out of our lives, we need to get that out before we can get the righteousness in. Absolutely. We must put off before we can put on. But if we only are putting off, we're not going to go anywhere as Christians. And so it's not just a diligence to avoid wickedness, it's a diligence then to pursue righteousness, to do the right thing. And the main subjects that come up in Proverbs, and we've already touched on them briefly, but Proverbs talks about being diligent in our speech. Proverbs talks about to parents, be diligent in disciplining your children. You know, we need to be diligent in pursuing and listening wisdom, placing ourselves under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, taking that time every day to spend with Him. Those are all specific areas that Proverbs talks about the need for us to be diligent in. But just as a general reminder, every aspect of our spiritual life, not just to do the wrong thing, but to then put on and to do the best thing in every circumstance. Pursue righteousness. Be diligent in doing that. So we need to readily apply what we're learning. It's not just something that's a head knowledge where it's like, oh man, that was a really good message. I'm going to apply that to my life. And you have all of the great intentions and God's convicted you. But being diligent in doing righteousness is then taking that next step and actually letting something that God tells you from His Word impact the way you live the next day. And this is a little bit of a hit on myself. It was interesting this last week. I was just thinking back through the different things God had taught me and even last week's message and being diligent in our inner man, being diligent in setting goals for ourselves and considering our path. And at one point I sat there and was like, Nathan, that was a really good reminder for you, but what have you actually done to apply that to your life? And I was convicted. I was like, God, you were teaching me so much, but I didn't take that next step of being diligent to apply what I was learning. And if we're going to be diligent in doing righteousness, we then need to take what God's teaching us, whether through the preaching on Sundays or Wednesdays or Sunday nights, or whether it's in our daily Bible reading, or even just something a friend tells to us. It's great when it impacts our heart, but then we also must let that be displayed in the way that we live. Be diligent to apply it. Be diligent to change the way that you're living as a result of what you learn. And then be diligent to study and apply more from Scripture. You know, Scripture addresses so many different areas of our lives. There's a lot of general passages where it tells us, you know, put off, renew your mind, put on, Ephesians 4. You can look at Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. We started in youth group this morning looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, where it says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience. You look at 1 Corinthians 13, okay, what does God want me to love? How does He want me to love? These are all different passages that for every single person in this room apply. And you could spend so much time just digging into those passages and saying, okay, Lord, teach me from this. How can I do this? But then you have different passages for members of a church. You look at passages like Romans 12, where it talks about the different gifts that are there, or 1 Corinthians 12, where it says, okay, God has made us a body of Christ. And then you say, okay, God, where do I fit into that picture? And you diligently study that passage so you can be a better church member. We could all do that as well. You look at passages on employees. We looked at Ephesians 6 in our discipleship series where it talked about servants, be obedient to your masters. Masters, treat your servants respectfully and kindly. We could go on and talk about husbands and wives in Ephesians 5. Parents as well. Children, pastors, friends, neighbors, citizens of your country. The list goes on and on and on. There's so much in the Bible that we could diligently study and apply to our lives. And how great would it be if we were so diligent in pursuing righteousness that evil wasn't able to tempt us because we didn't have time for it. And that's not just wishful thinking. That can happen. To where our lives are so focused on pursuing righteousness and learning more of Scripture and applying it to our lives that we don't even have time for that temptation to take any root. Now, it'll keep popping up. Satan knows how to do that, where you'll be on the right path and, whoa, I did not see that coming. So we must be ready to avoid it. But I wonder how often we allow the temptation of evil to be so strong because we're not doing enough of putting on. We're only ever putting off, and then we have all this spare time on our hands, and the evil comes up. So if we're diligent in pursuing righteousness, it's going to help with that first point in avoiding wickedness. We must focus on what we put on. But what does it mean, and what are some reasons that we are lazy in doing righteousness? Well, can I say a huge one today is we misunderstand God's grace. You look at the average Christian in today's world, the average person that claims to be a Christian, and you look at their lives and you're like, man, your life does not match up with Scripture. You know one of the biggest reasons for that? And this is true in our own lives as well. This isn't just true of other churches or other people. When we misunderstand God's grace, we're going to be lazy in our spiritual lives. Because people will say, God's grace has covered all of my sin. Yes, it has. Praise the Lord. But what does Paul say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And some Christians live that way. They say, it's all taken care of Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Now I can go live my life the way I want to. Now the Bible says if that's the way a person lives their life, they're not truly saved. But how often do we use as an excuse in our own minds, you know what, I'm already set with God, I already have Jesus Christ, I don't need to be as diligent in my righteous life. Titus 2 verses 11 and 12 though, says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, amen. But what does it do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You know, if we had a real and true understanding of God's grace, you know what it would motivate us to do? To be the most diligent and disciplined person in our spiritual life to do righteousness. Sadly, that's not the case in much of our world today. People will say, oh, you know, grace is one of the most common church names and even new church names in our country today. I'm not saying if there's a Grace Baptist Church or a Grace Community Church or different grace churches that they're sinful or whatever. But oftentimes you'll go to a church and they so much focus on God's grace to us that they don't address, okay, we need to live righteously. And if we would truly understand God's grace, according to Titus chapter 2:11, God's grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and to live righteously. But a lazy person, they misunderstand God's grace. And they use that as an excuse for not living righteously. The lazy person loves ease above all else. So a person that's not diligent in doing righteousness, the fact is our heart just loves and enjoys other things more. You find someone that'll spend all this time watching sports or reading a book or streaming a series on TV, and they know all the facts. They know all of the different characters in the series. They know all of the different people on the sports team. They know all of the different aspects of the art or the job or the craft that they're in. And sometimes we spend so much more time to other things than to pursuing righteousness in our lives. And that's where we need to go and say, okay, what do I love? What do I enjoy? Because if I truly loved God, I would spend more time pursuing righteousness every day in my life than I would spend doing other things. A lazy person, someone who's not diligent to do righteousness, it's because they love and enjoy other things more. And our hearts are there. That's why we constantly need to renew our hearts. That's our natural path that we go on. And I mentioned this earlier, but another reason why we're lazy sometimes is because we're only ever on the defensive side of things. I remember, I'm not great at chess, so please don't ask me to play. It's been many years since I played. But I remember playing my dad in chess, and every move that he would make, I would have to counter. I was always on the defensive side. I was always having to protect my king, protect my queen. I was always being defensive. And you know what? If you're always only defensive in a game like chess, you're going to lose. But when you focus and you go on the attack, that puts the other person. It's that way in sports too. It's that way in everything. If you're only ever getting pushed back and you're only ever on the defensive saying, no, stop, don't do that. Well, guess what? That's another sign of laziness in our spiritual lives. Where we're letting evil have the upper hand because we're not putting in the work to do righteousness. We need to go on the attack against evil. We need to be diligent to do righteousness. So we must be diligent in all of these areas of our outward actions. We must be diligent to avoid wickedness. We must be diligent to do righteousness. But it's not just our spiritual life that matters. And Proverbs has a lot to say just about being diligent in our secular work. And I didn't put all of the verses up there. But even just in looking down at my notes here, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 11 different passages in front of me here. We're not going to turn to them all. We're just going to turn to a few. But it's not just our spiritual walk with God that He's concerned about. No, He wants us to be diligent in every aspect of our lives. Turn to chapter 24 of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24, and you look at verse number 30. Proverbs 24, verse number 30, it says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 23. There we saw the danger of slothfulness in our work and how that brings destruction. In chapter 14, verse 23, it says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. And we could turn to passage after passage that just state these simple things where it says, a righteous person, they're going to work hard. And it says, diligent work is praiseworthy. Here it talks about, in all labor there is profit. When we're laboring, there's going to be good things that come to us. When we diligently work, diligent in our secular work, God's going to bless that. Colossians 3:23, we mentioned that at the start. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to man. You know the context of that? It's in the context of masters and servants, the employee-employer relationship. And so that's very applicable to secular work as well as everything else, whatsoever you do. That's including everything. But in that context, it's specifically talking about in your secular workplace, servants to your masters, work diligently, work heartily, put your spirit into it. Not for eye service as men pleasers, but do it for the Lord. And so we can't get so focused and only focus on our spiritual life and say, you know what, my reputation at my work, that doesn't matter. We put this disjoint between our secular lives and our spiritual lives. Well, the Bible says, no, your testimony in your secular workplace and your spiritual life, those are one and the same. God wants us to be diligent in our workplace. Now, some people are over-diligent in their workplace to the neglect of other things. And I'm not preaching that whatsoever tonight. And that goes back to last week's message where we need to know the goal and know the priorities in our lives. Where we say, okay, God is my number one priority. And then if you have a family, especially if you're the husband of a family, then you have your family that you're responsible for. You have a church that you're responsible for. But work is important as well. It's lower on the list, but it's not non-existent on the list. Don't let work and your diligence in your work take precedence over these other God-ordained things. But still, when you're working, give it everything you've got. Be diligent in your work. Don't neglect it. And Proverbs has much to say about that. But what does it mean? What does it look like to be diligent in our work? And these even just go back to the general characteristics of diligence. It means that we work with enthusiasm at our work. We're not the person that's always moping about, oh, it's a rainy day and I don't want to be at work. I want to be home with my family. I'm just going to mope and drag my feet. No. A diligent person at the work is like, you know what? There are other places I'd rather be right now, but let's get to work. Let's do this. You're a motivator. You're an encourager in your workplace. A diligent person works with enthusiasm. We set our focus to the job at hand. When you're at work, give it all of your intention unless there's something better that you need to be focusing on. But they're paying you for your time there at work. And so set your focus to the job at hand. Say, Lord, you've called me to this workplace. Man, there are other places that I would rather be right now, but God, while I'm here, I'm going to focus on my job and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability for your glory. Not with eye service as men pleasers again, but doing the will of God from the heart. Saying, God, I'm working hard for you. We get right to our work without delaying. When someone comes and they say, hey, can you do this for me? Or hey, can you accomplish this? Hey, can you get it done? Yes, absolutely. Let me get right to that. I have the time right now to do that. Get right to it without delaying. Don't put it off. A lazy person puts it off and they procrastinate. A diligent person will get right to the job without delaying. Laziness, though, brings poverty and distrust and shame. And we see that many places in Proverbs. We just read Proverbs 24, 30 through 34, where it says, I passed by the field of the sluggard, I passed by the field of the man devoid of understanding, and it was all covered up. I took note, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty is going to come on you. That's shameful. That brings poverty. That's what laziness brings. But what are some reasons that we might be lazy? Well, we mentioned this earlier. Sometimes we pretend that does not intersect with our secular life. We're like, the person I am at church and the person that I am in the workplaces are two different people. And that's going to result in many bad things in your life if that's your mentality. No, we should want to do everything diligently. Another reason that we're lazy, we believe that God will still provide. You know, we claim the promise, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. I don't have to worry. God is going to still provide all of my needs. Amen. God will provide. That's a promise from God. You know another command from God? The one that doesn't work, neither shall he eat. And so as much as we would like to claim the promise and says, you know what, God's going to take care of me. Yes, that's true. If you're working diligently and righteously for him, God will make sure that you're taken care of. But if we're not being diligent, if we're being lazy and we claim the excuse that God's going to still provide, we need to remember that there are verses, and this is in Proverbs chapter 12, verse says, he that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. God promises to satisfy us with food, but we must be putting that work into it. If we're being diligent in our work, if we're being diligent in seeking work, if we don't have it, God won't let you suffer. God won't let you die. He's going to take care of his children. We're promised that in Scripture. But we can't use that as an excuse to just not work at all, to be lazy in our work. Someone that gets fired because they're lazy, they can't say that's God's fault for that happening. No, that was your own fault because you weren't being diligent in it. So, we're lazy because we pretend our spiritual life doesn't matter and doesn't intersect with our secular life. We believe that God will still provide. And then this is a very big one. We forget who we're working under. We see that boss that's over us and we say, man, I don't want to do this person a favor. I really don't want to. I'm not going to work as hard. Well, we must remind ourselves, no, I'm not doing work for this person. God says, I'm working for him. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto man. And it's this way in marriages, it's this way in the family, it's this way in church. If the things that you do, you're doing to please another person, you're going to be disappointed in life. People disappoint. They don't recognize the effort that you put in. They don't see everything that you do. If you're doing your work in your workplace for the recognition of a boss, or if you struggle to find motivation because of the boss that's over you, well, your focus is in the wrong place. That's a lazy focus. If we're diligent in our work, we remember who is truly over us. It's interesting, in 2 Peter, another passage where it talks about, or maybe this is 1 Peter chapter 4, it's talking about servants being obedient to masters that even are mistreating them and abusing them. And it says, continue to do them good. Continue to serve them. Because God is watching, God sees, God knows. And you're doing what you're doing for Him and for His glory. People are going to disappoint us. If I'm focusing only ever on pleasing Pastor Byford, who is quote-unquote my boss, Pastor Byford's not always going to see and be appreciative of all the work that I put in. Now, he's a wonderful boss. I love very much working with him in these areas. But no matter who your boss is that's over you, they're not always going to see. They may actually always have something better for you to do. Hey, you did it wrong, you did it wrong, you did it wrong. And you're like, oh, I'm trying my very best. Well, guess what? God sees. So keep serving that person because God is the one that you're working under. The boss that's over you, yes, that's your physical boss, but that's not the boss that matters. God is. And so let's not forget who the real person is that we're working for. Because if we forget that, then we're going to be lazy. We're going to be disappointed. Even if the boss praises us, that's the only reward we get. God told the Pharisees, if you sound your works before other people, guess what? You're going to get your reward, but there's no eternal reward for that. Even if we're doing good things, if I'm up here preaching and the only thing I care about is what you all out there think of me, well, guess what? I don't get any eternal reward for that. God says, Nathan, you got your reward. The congregation was pleased. But if I'm up here saying, you know what, regardless of anything else, I just want to be faithful to God's word, then guess what? God says, that's the person I'm going to honor. And it's that same for all of us in our work. If we're focused on doing it for God and not for the person that's over us, God said, good, be diligent, work heartily, as to the Lord, not to man. Because the Lord will return that and He will bless our efforts. Colossians 3:23, we've quoted it so often, but it's fitting to end here. Whatsoever ye do, that whatsoever is all-inclusive, diligent in avoiding wickedness, diligent in doing righteousness, being diligent in our secular work, in our secular lives. Whatsoever ye do, even if you're playing a sport, I've said this verse before basketball games sometimes, that's not the only application, but whatever we're doing, do it heartily, give it your best. As to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Why are we diligent? Because we're serving the Lord. And we want to give Him our absolute best. That means that we're going to be diligent in guarding our hearts and minds. That's utmost important. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart the mouth speaketh. So focus there. Start there. But then we must also be diligent in putting our hearts into action. Diligence in avoiding wickedness, saying no to certain things. Diligence in pursuing righteousness, and then being diligent in our secular lives. Whatever it is that we're doing, do all to the glory of God, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, it says here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. So let's be diligent this week. Let's be diligent in our spiritual lives. Let's be diligent in our secular lives as well. Whatever it is we're doing, let's be diligent. But doing it for the Lord, not unto man. And that's so huge. We must remember that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You just for the rebuke that Your word is to us. And Lord, any honest person in here will recognize that they still have steps to take in being diligent. Lord, we all can grow. We all can do more to pursue righteousness. We all can do more to get the wickedness and to stay away from it out of our lives. Lord, I pray that we would be diligent, that we would be diligent to apply Your words to our lives. Lord, even now, whatever it is You're talking to us about, I pray that we would diligently apply that this next week, starting tomorrow, starting tonight. Lord, that we wouldn't delay in putting into action the things that we've learned. Whether it's from Sunday morning's message or a Sunday school message or even tonight's message, God, may we be diligent to apply to our lives what it is you want us to learn and to grow from. And God, in everything, may we do what we do for your glory, not for recognition of others, but God, we want you to be praised and we want you to be glorified. Lord, please be glorified in Faith Baptist Church of Manhattan, Kansas. We want you to be glorified. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take some time of just quiet meditation in our own hearts to be diligent to apply what God has spoken to us about. Maybe it wasn't even a message today. Maybe it was something you read this last week that you recognize you just need to start applying to your lives. Maybe it's a word that someone spoke into your heart and into your life. We'll have a moment of quiet prayer. If you want to come kneel and pray at the front, that's definitely welcome. You're welcome to do that. If you want to just quietly sit there and pray in your seat, you can do that as well. But whatever we need to talk to God about and diligently apply to our lives, let's do that. As the pianist plays, let's take some time to talk to God.